You're listening to Morning Edition on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. This Thursday, civil rights icon Julian Bond headlines the MLK convocation and community celebration at Albion College. Time magazine has named the former NAACP chairman one of America's top 100 leaders. I had the pleasure of interviewing Bond in advance of his appearance. He proudly says he's one of the few people who can truly be called a student of Dr. Martin Luther King, because King was once one of his college professors. Bond's address Thursday is titled The Dream, The Journey So Far and the Challenge Ahead. Let's listen to him talk about it.
Generally speaking, it's a look at how far we've come in racial matters in this country and how far we have yet to go, what we've done right, what we've done successfully, and what we have yet to do.
What has been done successfully?
Well, what's been done successfully is that if you look at my lifetime only, which is a limited period, even though I'm 74, we've passed laws prohibiting racial discrimination, and generally speaking, they've been successful laws. You now can't deny a person a house because of his or her race. You can't deny them a job because of his or her race, and on and on and on and on. And these are good things. On the other hand, although we have this structure of laws prohibiting racial discrimination actually continues to exist. And it's the continuation of this discrimination that we have yet to eliminate, and that's really the job left for present generations, as well as people in my age group who are still trying to do what we can. There's lots yet undone, and we need to do it.
Bond took a philosophy class with Dr. King at Morehouse College in Atlanta. Bond went on to be among the founders of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, a co-sponsor of the 1963 March on Washington, where King gave his historic I Have a Dream speech. I asked Bond if his relationship with King had progressed much beyond teacher and student.
Not a great deal. I can't say I was his very best friend. But I think people think of him as a kind of somber figure, and I think he portrayed himself as a somber figure in public. And like many public people, he had a public face and a private face. And the private face was very different from the public face. You see this man dressed in a dark suit, smiling occasionally, but typically serious-minded and serious acting. But he was a funny person. He liked to tell jokes. He liked to tease people. Among his friendly circle, he was always teasing people. He believed, against all the evidence, that he was a great basketball player, but he was relatively short in stature and could not, although that's not a prohibition against being a good basketball player, it seemed to be so for him. And he was a person who enjoyed life. And I don't think you get that from the public King, but you certainly could get it from the private King.
Some of the big issues that you're involving yourself with these days, my understanding is economic justice is one of them, environmental concerns is one of them, gay rights is one of them. Tell me a little bit about why you have passions in those various areas. I know, for example, that you boycotted Coretta Scott King's funeral because it was held at a church that opposed same-sex marriage. And apparently while she was living, she was a strong supporter of same-sex marriage.
She was. And it's something I think most people don't know about her. That's one of the things about the civil rights movement that we don't know, that she was a strong, strong supporter of same-sex marriage and spoke at rallies and acted out in favor of sexual equality and did everything that she could as a living person to make this possible. And when she was funeralized at a church which was pastored by a raving homophobic pastor, I just couldn't go to that. I couldn't find myself there, and so I didn't go.
Yeah, I remember reading an interview where you talk about that gays and lesbians are discriminated in, you said, in the past and present, like blacks are.
Yes, and you know, one of the problems I think gay people face is the ignorance of the larger population that thinks they've chosen this life that they live, when in fact they were born to it. And some of these people were active in the civil rights movement with me. They helped me to win my civil rights. And I can't turn around now and say, listen, thanks for helping me, but I'm not going to help you. I mean, that's just something I could not do, and I don't think anybody would do if they understood the role they'd played in helping me. You know, if it hadn't been for a gay man, there would not have been a successful march on Washington. Bayard Rustin was the organizer of the march. He was openly gay. He was honestly and expressionally gay. Didn't care who knew it. That was who he was. And he helped to make that march the great success that it was. Now, how can I turn around and say, well, I'm not going to the march because Bayard Rustin is gay? I mean, how stupid would I be?
Mr. Bond, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Julian Bond speaks at 7 p.m. Thursday, January 30th at Albion College. This is Earlene McMichael for WMUK.